This episode is sponsored by Aldi.
Life with a newborn is amazing, but why does no one tell you how many nappies they go through? That's why finding nappies that fit, are gentle against your baby's skin, and don't break the bank is so important.
Sign up on NetMums and you'll receive a voucher to claim one full-size pack of Aldi Mammy and Newborn nappies, totally free.
Sounds good to us. Now, on with the show.
You're listening to the NetMums podcast with me, Wendy Gollidge.
And me, Jennifer Howes. On this week's show...
Us two and the boys, yeah. We've just always been this little unit. We really enjoy spending time together. We don't really like being apart from each other.
But before all of that... Hello, hello, lovely people. Welcome back to another episode. Now, today, it's a sad time for Jen. I'm introducing Jen because Jen is very emotional. Jen, over to you.
Yes, I am very emosh. My daughter goes to university this week, and I thought I would be quite jolly about having all this free time where I wasn't having to basically clean the kitchen and pick up her shoes and drive her places. But yeah, it's kind of bearing down on me, and I'm feeling very emotional and a little bit, you know, up in the air about it.
And it's making me emotional. And my daughter's only 11. The thought of them going.
I will say, check in with me next week where I may be, you know, larking about with, you know, next time you see me, I'll have like a martini glass and be like, woohoo!
She'll be free! Well, I'm going to let you introduce our lovely guests today because I think they're not quite at the leaving for uni stage yet, but they might wish they were.
Yes, we are delighted to have with us today James and Claire Buckley. As many of you may know, they are creators of the popular YouTube channel At Home with the Buckleys and now authors of a brand new book, At Home with the Buckleys, Scummy Stories and Misadventures from Modern Family Life. That's out on the 29th of September as a hardback, audiobook, and an ebook.
Now, James, of course, was in the iconic series The Inbetweeners and two Inbetweeners movies, the first of which set the record for the biggest opening weekend for comedy film, both of which I watched with my fist in my mouth, remembering my misadventures. And since then, he's worked on a host of other acting projects and been nominated for a BAFTA, don't you know? And Claire is an actor, editor, former model, writer of horror stories, and of course, a mum. They've got two boys, Harrison and Jude, and a dog named Paisley, and I want to know what sort of dog it is. So, ladies and gentlemen, welcome James and Claire.
Hello. Hi, guys. Hi. What an intro.
That was a great one.
I know, difficult.
I sort of just want to leave it there. I don't want to ruin it.
Thanks. Leave on a high.
Now, there's something very earthy about you two on your YouTube channel. It's pretty no holds barred. James cutting the grass, James talking about anal fissures. You know, it's pretty real. Why is it so important to you guys to show parenting warts and all to your audience?
I'm not sure it's something that's important. I don't even think it was on purpose. No, I think it's just... I think people appreciate... genuine people, especially on platforms like YouTube, where it's a views based economy sort of thing, where you have to, what's the word, clickbait, things like that.
Which we're not good at either.
We're not particularly guilty at that. I think we like to poke fun and showcase the stuff that everybody's getting up to in their lives and why it's funny.
That's the main thing. Yeah. It's just funny, isn't it?
I think everything about parenting is funny, in honesty. It's got to be funny or you cry. That's the theory.
Yeah, that's one thing I really like about it is it does feel a bit like hanging out at y'all's house. You know, you're going around. It's like, oh, you know, marinating steaks or chatting or calling out to each other while chores are happening. It's just like a really great vibe.
Yeah, I like to think that people understand that is, whether or not we had a camera on at that point, that's what we'd be doing with our lives. I think that's what people would enjoy about it and appreciate. They can tell that we're not sort of playing up or being unnatural in any way. No.
What made you decide to do it?
Boredom.
Well, yeah, boredom. I mean, we genuinely, we started it just before lockdown really kicked in. And James had been on YouTube before. He's got a gaming channel that he had been enjoying doing. So he had sort of had a little taste of the YouTube world. And, you know, you enjoyed sort of the behind the scenes stuff of it as well, the editing and all that sort of stuff. And it was just something that we very casually talked about for like one night.
I wanted to do more vlogging content, but I knew that the humour and the fun would come out of having Claire involved as well, having the two of us. And because I quite enjoy sort of winding Claire up and getting on her nerves a little bit, I enjoy her reaction. And I thought other people would as well.
That's just a loving husband sort of thing to do, isn't it?
Yeah.
I enjoy winding her up. I'm just going to show a few million people me winding her up as well. Why not?
We genuinely spent very little time talking about it, even less time thinking about it or planning it.
Yeah, I just said, let's do it. There's nothing left to lose. I had, you know, COVID had hit.
There's nothing left to lose.
Well, that was it. That was what was in my head. COVID had just hit and the whole of my diary for a year just went blank. And I was like,
That's okay.
I suppose I'll just sit here now for the next year. And so I wanted to do something, and we, you know, we both feel like we're creative people and we like to make things, so it just seemed like a good idea to pass the time. And now it's sort of gone up again a little bit and
it's
become a little thing in our lives that we really enjoy, and are getting sort of these strange opportunities like writing a book and stuff like that, which is nonsense. I mean, I know you always hear people say, oh, they'll let anyone write a book, won't they? But it's true. It's, we've confirmed it. We've confirmed that saying. They will let anyone write a book. And we've done it. So. Yeah.
Before we get onto the book, which we want to talk about some of the bits in that, I've got a very important question. How do you keep your house so clean with two kids?
It's all about the camera.
It's all camera tricks. It genuinely is.
If I was to turn this computer around right now, there's a...
Yeah, it's a mess.
Big old mess left over from the carnage of the morning of getting the children out to school.
Yeah,
so.
There it is all there.
And that's why you only ever see the living room and the kitchen,
yeah,
really.
Yeah, we've...
Because I've kind of mastered those two, but there's actually a sort of ongoing joke on our YouTube channel with the people who watch it. The utility room is like a no-go area. And sometimes I'll accidentally leave the door open and everybody in the comments is like, oh, we saw your washing and your rubbish piled up.
Excellent, excellent. So going on to the book, you talk a lot about music. Music is a big part of your life, how important it is to you both. You share your Desert Island Discs. I love that bit. And how your entire life could be chalked up to the Beatles. Your kids are named Harrison and Jude. And Claire, I want to know a little bit more about this Beatles tattoo you had as a girl.
Yeah.
Yes, I can imagine as you grow older and after having had two kids might be interesting. How does music play a part in kind of daily family life?
It's huge. It's constant.
I've just taken the boys to school, and as soon as I sat in the car, put the car in reverse, started to creep back out the driveway, and then it's just, oh, Dad, can we put the Beatles on? All right, okay, put it back in park, go on my phone, search for the Beatles. So that adds another 2 minutes to, you know what it's like in the mornings, like every second counts, but they've got to have the Beatles on before, you know, before they leave for school that day. And it's just constant. We've always got music playing and we all seem to enjoy the same bands. And not only that, like the boys are also fascinated by the Beatles. I'm not sure they had much choice, and it's really great that they got on board with it, because it would have been
awful if they didn't like them.
I know, yeah, it would have been really difficult.
Yeah,
but they love watching YouTube videos and documentaries about not just the music, but about the way they went about recording and the rumors and the fights. And Harrison especially has just got this knowledge
everything.
of encyclopedic knowledge of the Beatles.
Me and James, we've always loved the Beatles. Even, you know, before we got together, it was one of the things that we spoke about constantly. And Harrison's blowing my mind because I never thought it would be possible, but he knows more than we do, because he just spends all of his time, like Jim says, watching stuff, reading stuff,
playing stuff.
They're both learning. Jude's learning how to play the bass. Harrison's learning guitar. They both play the drums. It's just
Christ, two sons who play the drums. That's bold.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's not quite music at the beginning, is it? No. It's more it's just not. Noise.
No, it's not. It's not music at the beginning. No.
No. I've got a daughter learning to play the piano, and that's bad enough. And they start violin at school in year six.
Lovely. That's a difficult one to get on board with.
Isn't it the cat with a rocking chair? That's how it starts out?
We haven't started yet. I'll report back.
What about this tattoo?
Well, I turned 18 and I said, right, well, I'm going to get a tattoo just because that's what I thought you should do.
It's a working class tradition. we've both subscribed to.
And I didn't spend very long thinking about what I wanted. I knew straight away it's got to be something to do with the Beatles. If I had maybe thought it through a little bit more and maybe put a little bit of time and effort into what it might be, it maybe would have lasted a bit longer, but I just went for the Beatles. their logo, they're just the actual writing, and I just got it right on my stomach, not thinking about, like you say, oh, maybe I'll have children and it might not look as great. No, just went for it, loved it, was so proud of it. And then two babies later, it was a little bit wobblier than it was when it was first done. Sort of went a bit like that. So I ended up having to get it covered up.
There's a lot of things that are a little bit wobblier, two babies
That's
later.
Very true. Very true.
Not for the gentleman among us, might we add.
No, I'm
Oh, that's
I'm
weird,
wobbly.
Because he did get wobblier as well.
I'm wobbly.
Sympathy wobbles.
Yeah, I'm just, it's just it's unity, isn't it?
So, Claire, I am also a mum whose husband is away for work quite a lot. This month it's Nepal, which is galling to say the least. And I feel like I often get left holding the baby. How do you juggle that kind of being a parent? James is away. You've got a super popular YouTube channel, two kids, a dog, a utility room to clean. How do you do that?
Well, recently, he hasn't been away, which I don't know if is better or worse, to be honest. Because now I got to tidy up after him as well. But back in the day when he was,
I can see what's going on here.
Back in the day when the boys were actually really small, James was working constantly and he travelled a lot. And sometimes it definitely was hard. And, you would have those little moments where, well, for me anyway, I would sort of sit and think, oh, is this it? Is this, I'm just changing nappies and cleaning the bottles and waking up and doing it again. And the house is always a mess, no matter how hard I clean it. But on the other hand, I genuinely felt really lucky to be able to be at home with them and never miss a thing. Sometimes we would FaceTime James wherever he might be at that point, and he would sort of feel like he'd missed a couple of little things or, a little milestone here and there, which I wouldn't have gave up for the world. So it depends how you look at it, because I feel like James had the harder job where he would be away and he would miss those things. Now, obviously, the boys are older and, they're at school and me and James are doing this thing together. It's a little bit easier for me to be busier, doing the book and stuff. This is all really new to me and, I'm loving it. It's so much fun. But I still have that sort of thing where I'm like, oh, Harrison's got, a school assembly and you cannot book anything in that because, I need to be there. So for me, yes, it was hard at times, of course it was, but I felt really lucky to be able to do it. And I've just, I don't really like being away from them anyway. So I loved it.
The school, you just said that about the school admin though. The school admin is real.
Oh. Oh yeah, there's a lot to keep up with.
It's the cause of the most rows in my house, school admin, because I do it. And I get really annoyed about it.
Well, now I'm handing over all my school admin to my actual child. So she's got to do all her own admin. So we'll see how that works.
Yeah.
Let us know if the handover actually happens.
Right. Or maybe then you could try that with Harrison and Jude, like right now, outsource.
It feels more so these days than when I was growing up that you really are signing up for life. Like you, as soon as I left school, it was like, right, get a job because that's it. You know, we've done our bit. And I was like, okay, but I don't think the kids are ever going to leave the house.
When they get like, they'll be home at 30, they'll be kind of just like, oh, I'm between flats, Dad. Can I just come back for a bit?
Yeah. I'll say, yes, of course you can. You don't have to actually leave if you don't want to.
No matter what stage of parenting you're at, from pregnancy through to the toddler years, we all need a little help. And Audi's on hand with advice and support every step of the way.
Head to the Bump, Birth and Beyond Hub under New Parents on netmums.com for a whole host of useful information, from tried and tested birth tips to bedtime routines for babies.
And while you're there, make sure you sign up for your free pack of Audi Mammy and Newborn Nappies. It takes less than 30 seconds. We've timed it, by the way. And you'll get a voucher for a free full-size pack.
Now, back to the show. Now, the book's full of all these great combination of things. The recipes for cocktails, how to grill steaks. I'm from Texas, so I particularly love all your marinade bits. You know, discussion about your childhood and early years. But you have this bit that talks about yes days, where you say yes to things that for the kids that you usually say no to. Have you ever said yes to something that you really regretted saying yes to?
I mean, we mainly keep a yes day in the arsenal, in the bag there. For instance, if we were planning to do something and something happens or something comes up and the kids are disappointed. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that year when Christmas got cancelled from COVID and stuff like that. Right. Okay.
We had a few yes days.
Let's have a yes day. That's what do you want to do? We'll go and do it. And, you know, we'll.
What do you want to eat?
What do you want to eat? You know,
that's where it usually starts. And if one can of you. Have a cookie for breakfast.
Yes, sure. If one of you wants McDonald's and the other one wants Domino's, then we'll make two different orders and we'll, you know.
Yeah.
They don't really take the mick that much, do they? I think they understand. Right. I just think they're simple boys, aren't they? They don't really. And I think this is what kids might discover, is that they don't really want that much. They may think they do, but if you say to them, all right, what do you want? We'll do anything. It'll be, can I have a cookie for breakfast?
I know.
Yeah, sure.
See, I think I'd get, can I have that Stranger Things Lego, which is 500 quid, that'd be the problem. I'd get asked for all the Lego sets in all the world.
Let me just say, there is yes day limitations.
There's got to be a line.
There's no 500 quid present.
They can't bankrupt us on Lego.
Cookies, fine. Lego, nah.
Yeah.
Do y'all ever have yes days with each other?
Oh, I'd like to. I'd like a yes day.
Oh, no. Oh,
I'd like a yes day. Yeah. I think that would be a lot of fun.
I think you've just really screwed Claire here.
Your yes day would be boring. It would be...
Can you leave me alone?
Yeah, stuff like that.
Can you leave me alone? Yeah, all right. I love it when I find out something a little bit random about guests. And Claire...
Oh, no.
My random thing about you is that you write horror stories. And James, you've talked about liking being scared. So what I want to know is this. Claire, what's the most horrific thing about James? And James, what's the scariest thing about Claire?
Horrific. Define horrific.
Something about that man next to you that horrifies you.
He's anal fisher right now.
He is. That would...
That's quite terrible. Especially since he keeps trying to get me to look at it.
That would be banned from cinemas if that was...
That would horrify anybody, that was put on the screen.
What's scariest about Claire? Just a whole thing that she's got going on.
Expand.
She's got a sort of Joe Pesci Goodfellas thing that she's always had, where it's sort of she's quite small and petite, Claire, but she's got a menacing look when she wants, and she can make you feel really uncomfortable. You don't know whether she's joking or not. And she does that thing naturally, of like when Joe Pesci's going, "What? Funny how? You said it. How am I funny? Funny like a clown? Do I amuse you? Is that what I do? I'm only joking. Don't worry about it." And you go, "Oh, yeah, good one. Good one, Claire." She's got that. She's got that. She's got that in her bag. Yeah, she can switch that on every now and again. It keeps you on your toes. Like, Claire is obsessed with true crime and serial killers and things like this. And she says things to me like, I'd be able to get away with it.
You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen.
So, no, yeah, you're not.
So if anything happens to me, if anything
don't
happens
do that
to me,
because my God, if you like fell down the stairs or something,
they'd go
broke
through
your neck,
they'd go through your internet search history, and it would be acid in the bath. How do you dissolve a body and things like that?
Not in the bath, no.
That would be an amazing YouTube channel, though, James. After your death.
Yeah, yeah. Well, know. I might be around to enjoy it, of course.
So the plan, so the bigger picture.
Being a couple, you got married soon after meeting. You had your first child quite young. You lived together, worked together, now have written a book together. When will you be heartily sick of one another? Or will that never happen?
Or has it already happened?
Oh, we're already sick of each other.
Yeah.
That's why the YouTube channel is so funny.
But we're mates. We're friends, aren't we? We're mates. And, you know, I don't think you ever really like your friends. No, we're just all of us, us two and the boys, yeah. We've just always been this little unit. We really enjoy spending time together. We don't really like being apart from each other. And we don't really like anyone else. We are just this little unit.
I think what you said there is quite important, actually, because I do feel like me and James are friends. Like, yes, he's my husband and, you know, all that stuff, but he's genuinely like my mate. He's like my pal. So, you know, because you can sort of compartmentalize stuff, especially working together, where there's the YouTube stuff. Obviously, we were working together on the book for a while, and then there's parenting, and then there's being married, and so you can sort of put them into different categories, but as long as you sort of make time for each individual thing, it's usually all right. Now, you know, he gets on my nerves constantly, but that's as a husband. So, you know, on a Friday night when we sit down and we want to pick a movie and get a takeaway and, you know, catch up and be stupid, that's when we're mates. And that's when we genuinely can sit down and really make each other laugh. And...
So when I'm getting on your nerves as a husband, that's different to when I'm getting on your nerves as a colleague?
Yes.
Right, okay, yes. Just making sure.
Yes, because you are quite a terrible colleague
But it doesn't double up. You don't get doubly angry with me.
Depends. It depends how funny you are that day. Because that's the one thing that James can do. He can get out of it by making me laugh. Which is annoying because I never want to laugh.
Mm-hmm. Now, I just want to talk to you a little bit about the in-betweeners, but in relation to our kids, because I'm the generation that watched it, as I've said, with my fist in my mouth, partly because I was like, oh, Christ, I remember that happening. I remember doing that. And watching it as a grown-up is all well and good. You watch it, you laugh, and then you think, oh my goodness me, I'm going to have a teenage daughter in a year. Do you kind of like look at the boys as a boy from the in-betweeners and think, holy hell, this is just coming my way?
I don't really think about the in-betweeners that much. And I didn't when I was doing it. And I still don't now. And that's not because...
Is that trauma therapy? Is that just like...
It is a little bit... It is going to, you know, in 20 years time or something, I might have to go and have some therapy sessions to talk about it, because it has been all suppressed. Like, it really has. Especially when I was doing it, the stuff I was saying and the way I was behaving, if I'd thought about it for a second, I maybe wouldn't have been able to have performed it with the confidence and the oomph that it needed to sell it. There's a scene where my character, careful, Jay, is talking to an old lady on the seaside and he asks something specific of her. It's a sexual act. We're all grown-ups here, Claire. Stop laughing. And the reality is that's funny on television. That's really funny. It's like, oh, God, what an outrageous thing to happen. Isn't that weird on television? The reality was that I was stood here. There was an old lady in front of me. And I was saying these disgusting things to her. So if you start to think about it that way...
Yeah, you can't overthink it.
No. So I've never really thought about it. All I know is that the boys, I will never officially...
I hope they don't ever do that.
I will... I will never officially give them my blessing to watch The Inbetweeners. I can't imagine anyone's going to come out of that unscathed. Everyone's going to be... I know. I was saying it's almost impossible for me to be embarrassed. I think that's the only thing. I think that's the thing, is the boys watching The Inbetweeners. So, yeah, they'll never be able to watch it. And hopefully we won't be able to talk about
they
it.
So well.
Well, if they do, will. I don't want to know. And then that's
well,
fine.
I'm going to let my girls watch it as a lesson in what teenage boys are actually like.
I think that's fair enough, yeah.
I think it's them. Like it should be on the curriculum as part of a girl's education.
Yeah.
Oh, over to you, Jen. Let's stop embarrassing poor James.
I'm happy to move on to the classic Buckley marinade.
She's back on steaks. It's the Texan.
I'm back on steaks, I know. Y'all seem to have an inordinate number of grills, barbecue grills at your home. How many is that actually?
Well, you're in England, Jen. They're not grills, they're barbecues.
I know, but I said barbecue grill because I tried to cover both for our people here and in the States.
Well, it's obviously very American influenced anyway, my cooking. I've got 5 barbecues.
But it's 4 more than you need, isn't it?
One of them's a pellet smoker, one of them's a wood smoker, and there's 3 that are grills at different sizes. But it is American influenced. I've been really lucky that I've had the barbecue in Austin a handful of times now.
Where'd you go in?
Rudy's.
Yeah.
Which is just absolutely amazing.
Should we go, Claire?
Honestly, he did send me pictures and I was like, oof, that looks good.
It is brilliant. And that's what I try and fail to recreate at home. It is becoming more popular now. There are barbecue restaurants popping up, that sort of American-influenced pulled pork and stuff like this. But it's not the same as over there in the States. I think it will be eventually. But obviously, there's, you know, hundreds of years of history of barbecue in America that we need to catch up on.
It's weird that you know that.
Well, it's true. It's amazing. It's incredible. It's an amazing skill.
I want you to see Claire's face, listeners. It's hysterical. She's just like, ugh.
Oh, I'm just so... And the problem is he rarely gets it right. And if any listeners have watched our YouTube channel, they'll know exactly the face I'm making because he gets so excited. And he makes all these plans for barbecues and he always burns it or undercooks it. Or, I mean, there's a rare occasion where he does manage it, but it's just so much hassle. And by 8 o'clock at night, everybody's starving because nobody's had anything to eat.
That is the barbecue way, though, isn't it?
Yeah, well, that's what I'm learning.
Yeah, the man heads out with, you know, a plate of raw meat.
And it somehow comes back raw. It's really weird.
Sometimes it does, yeah. It's amazing.
So other than a fight about a barbecue, what is next for the Buckleys?
I think what's next for the Buckleys is that we were allowed to write a book from a publisher got in touch with us, said you fancy writing a book.
Yeah. We thought that through no fault of our own.
We thought that would be fun. But now we actually feel quite guilty because the publishers are so nice to let us write this book. We enjoyed doing it. So we've obviously got a responsibility to try and get people to buy it. And I think that's because it generally doesn't really make much difference to us whether people buy it or not. But we want people to buy it, of course. But we've done the fun bit, which was making it.
Yeah.
So we do.
But it would be good if
we do want people to buy it. And I think we'll be, obviously, the lead up to Christmas will be us popping up in people's lives saying, hey, we've got a book. Do you fancy buying it?
God, which is just crazy.
So I think that's what's going to take us up until Christmas.
And I just don't think we're made for it, me and James.
No,
together.
We're not good at this, are we? We'll find something that we are good at, I reckon. If we keep trying stuff.
Just keep plugging away, you guys. You'll eventually hit upon it.
Then it'll be Christmas.
And then it'll be yesterday.
Every family knows how that goes down. They're not relaxing times of the year.
No.
It used to be great. I remember being a kid.
Oh, I love it though.
Absolutely brilliant. But there's a lot of organising.
That doesn't make any difference to you.
Yeah, but I have to hear you. I help out. Come on.
Well, we're very much looking forward to...
Oh, you shouldn't have filled that silence, Jen. I was waiting for how long that silence was going to last.
Can we wrap this up, please?
Yeah, let's wrap this up before divorce is what's next for the book, please.
No. There's no divorce. I've told her this before. She don't get out of this that easy. She's not getting out of this. She's not walking away from this. You're in, mate. You are in.
Oh, guys, thank you so much. It has been a pleasure and a hoot. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you for having us. It was so much fun.
Thank you. Enjoy the rest of your day. Don't leave and have a row, please.
We'll try not to.
No, we won't.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.